Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on making an old school D&B rewind moment using resampling. If you've ever heard a drum and bass track suddenly pull back like the DJ hit rewind, then snap back and harder, that's the energy we're building today. This is one of the most effective crowd control moves in D&B. It's not just a sound effect, it's a groove moment, an arrangement moment, and a tension trick all at once. The goal is to make the track feel like it collapses for a second, then reloads with more force. And the good news is, in Ableton Live 12, you can do this with stock devices and a really simple resampling workflow. No need to overcomplicate it. We're going to print our loop to audio, slice it up, reverse a few bits, shape the bass pullback, and then place the whole thing in an arrangement so it feels like a proper old-school rewind. First, let's set up a simple D&B loop. Start around 170 to 174 BPM. Build something basic but solid, a breakbeat or half-step drum pattern, a sub-bass line, and maybe one extra element like a vocal stab, a noise hit, or a short synth accent. Keep it clean and focused. You do not need a huge arrangement yet. You just need enough groove for the rewind to feel believable. A good beginner rule here is to keep the kick short and tight, the snare punchy, the sub clean and mono, and any extra texture quieter than the drums. That way, when we rewind, the groove still has weight. If your starting loop is too empty, the rewind won't really pull back from anything. Now let's resample it. Create a new audio track and name it something obvious like resample. In the input section, choose resampling. Arm that track, hit play, and let Ableton record the full output of your loop. This is the core idea of the whole lesson. Instead of trying to build the rewind from separate MIDI parts, you're printing the complete performance into audio first. That gives you glue, timing, and all the little details that make the moment feel real. In D&B, that printed feel is often what makes an edit sound like an actual DJ move instead of a random effect. For a clean workflow, record about 4 bars of your loop, plus maybe one extra bar if you want a tail or FX ending. Keep an eye on your levels too. Try to leave some headroom before resampling so you're not printing something too hot. Around -6 dB peak headroom is a nice safe target. Once you've recorded the loop, drag the audio clip into arrangement view if needed, and listen for a strong section. You want a bar with a clear snare, a good bass hit, maybe a break accent, or a vocal chop that stands out. That becomes your rewind source. This is a teacher tip that matters a lot. Use one hero element to lead the rewind. Don't try to make every sound shout at once. Pick the snare, or the bass stab, or the vocal chop, and let that be the thing that pulls the listener backward. Now we're going to slice that audio. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track if you want to play the pieces like an instrument. For a beginner-friendly approach, slice by transient and use a drum rack. Keep the first pass rough. You're not making a perfect remix here. You're building a rewind gesture. Look for slices you can use as musical punctuation. A snare hit. A kick. A bass stab. A reverse-like noise tail. A tiny vocal fragment if you have one. Then rearrange those slices into a short phrase that feels like it's falling backward. A simple rewind phrase might start with a bass hit, answer with a snare, leave a little space, then bring in a chopped vocal or reverse tail, and finish with a final impact before the drop returns. The important thing is the stop-start feeling. Old-school rewind moments usually work because they're short, sharp, and a little raw. Now let's shape the rewind feel a bit more. Open the audio clip and try reversing either the whole clip or selected slices. A reversed snare tail or bass hit can create that classic suction effect, like the audio is being pulled back into the next section. For drum-heavy material, use warp and beats mode. Keep the transient preservation fairly simple, and don't overread it. If the audio starts to feel smeared or overworked, simplify the slices instead of fighting the warp engine. You can also automate the clip volume down a little during the rewind. That creates a suction or pullback sensation that sounds really natural in drum and bass. The ear likes it when the groove seems to collapse but still keeps time. That's the sweet spot. Now we need the bass to retreat too. Create a simple bass line using operator or wavetable. Keep it beginner-friendly. A sine-based sub and operator is perfect if you want a clean foundation. If you want a little more movement, try a simple detuned restyle sound in wavetable. For this lesson, you do not need a giant bass patch. You need a bass that can fall away. Write a one-bar phrase, then copy it into the rewind section. During the rewind, reduce the note density. Let the last note cut early or fall away. That little gap is powerful. Bass is a huge part of groove in jungle and rollers. A nice starting move is to keep the sub centered and clean, and maybe automate an auto filter cutoff downward during the rewind. If you want a little edge, use a small amount of saturator drive. Just enough to add attitude, not so much that the low end gets messy. Now we'll make the whole moment feel intentional with automation. This is where the rewind stops being just an edited clip and becomes a designed phrase. Useful automation targets here are auto filter cutoff, utility gain, reverb dry slash wet, delay feedback, and saturator drive. A classic shape is this. Open the filter a little or add a touch of delay in the bar before the rewind, then gradually reduce the drum bus volume by a couple of dB over the final half bar, then hit the rewind phrase, then bring the next drop back in hard. Keep the automation musical. You're not just sweeping knobs for the sake of it. You're guiding the listener's attention. If you use too much reverb or delay, the groove can dissolve into a wash, and in DNB that usually makes the moment feel weaker, not bigger. Next, let's glue the drums together. Group your drums into a drum bus and add subtle processing with drum bus, glue compressor, and EQ8. You want this to feel controlled, not overcooked. A little drum bus drive can add punch. A gentle glue compressor setting can help everything sit together. And EQ8 can clean up any mud in the low end. If you want extra grit, try resampling the process drum bus too. That can make the edits feel like one performance instead of a bunch of separate layers. Then you can blend the printed gritty version under the original, if you want more attitude without losing the transient attack. Now place the rewind in a real arrangement spot. This works best just before the second drop, after a main 8-bar or 16-bar phrase, or after a fill that sets up a heavier return. That's where the rewind hits hardest. Think of it as a pressure valve. The track inhales for a second, then explodes back out. A common DNB arrangement move is 16 bars of groove, then a short fill, then a 1-bar rewind pullback, then the drop returns with more bass or a slightly different drum pattern. That small contrast makes the comeback feel huge. And here's a really important beginner mindset. Compare the rewind against the drop. If the return does not feel bigger afterward, the rewind is probably too busy. Simplify it. Reduce the defects. Pull the bass back earlier. Give the next section room to punch through. Once you like the moment, resample the whole rewind again into one final audio clip. That gives you a reusable transition stem you can drop into other sections of the track, or save for future projects. Make a few versions if you can. A dry one, a more filtered one, one with extra reverb, and one with a harder bass pullback. That flexibility is super useful later. A couple of common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the rewind too long. In this style, 1 to 2 bars is usually enough. Don't drown it in reverb and delay. Don't pick audio that has no rhythmic identity. And don't let the low end get messy. The rewind has to feel like a controlled reset, not a washed out breakdown. If you want to push it a bit further, try one of these variations. You can make a 2-stage rewind, where the first bar pulls back quickly and then a second hit snaps back right before the drop returns. Or try a call and response rewind, where the drums answer the bass in short bursts. You can also build a tiny vocal rewind from just one word, or add a filtered noise burst before the final impact for extra urgency. For darker or heavier DNB, little details matter a lot. A filtered restale, a short room ambience burst, or a tiny 1-bar gap before the return can make the whole thing feel more powerful. Sometimes the most impactful move is actually removing something, not adding more. So here's the core process to remember. Build a simple D then B loop. Resample it to auto. Slice it into short rhythmic pieces. Reverse, filter, and automate it into a pullback phrase. Keep the sub clean and centered. Place the rewind right before a bigger return. Then render a final version so you can reuse it. That's the workflow. And once you get this into your hands, you'll start hearing rewind moments everywhere in the genre, because they really are part of the drum and bass language. They reset the dance floor, create tension, and make the next drop hit harder. For your practice challenge, make one rewind in just a few minutes, then make a second version that's either drier or more atmospheric. Compare them in context with the drop. Ask yourself which one creates more anticipation and which one makes the return feel bigger. That's how you train your ear for arrangement, not just sound design. All right, now it's your turn. Build that loop, print it, chop it, pull it back, and let the drop slam in even harder.